Brett Hollander back here on WBAL News Radio 1090 with one of our favorite guests. He is the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, and he is John Manuel, and he joins us right now. John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on again. The off-season, it's getting cold, so it definitely makes me feel like it's the off-season.
I mean, the hot stove is burning up right now, especially if you are Giancarlo Stanton of the Miami Marlins. Press conference tomorrow to ink a $325 million deal, John. That's a whole other discussion for another day. But take us back to the prospect. This is a guy, John, who broke in at 20, produced almost immediately for a Marlins team. Where was he supposed to fit in? How good was he supposed to be? Where was he on the Baseball America Top 100 prospect list and coming out of high school and everything else?
Well, you know, coming out of high school, he was a tough guy to rank because he was seen by most people as more of a football prospect than as a baseball guy. I think that scouts in Southern California wished he would play baseball, hoped he would play baseball. They weren't sure that he would do that. You know, Southern California talked to him for a baseball scholarship, and they were kind of hanging around the edges for football, talking about him playing defensive back or wide receiver. UNLV offered him a full-out, you know, football ride. I did our draft coverage in California that year, and he was a 76th overall draft pick, and I remember thinking that was about where we thought he'd go, because he was seen as raw and unpolished, and people weren't convinced that he was a baseball player yet. That he was an athlete first. He comes from a hell of a baseball program out there, a tremendous athletic department. I believe his high school, Notre Dame High down in SoCal, is one where Dennis Dugan, who's the director who works with Adam Sandler on all of Adam's worst movies, like Don't Mess with the Zohan and all those really bad, even by Adam Sandler definition, movies.
Yeah.
That guy has spearheaded building this great high school ballpark at Giancarlo Stanton's high school. And I think Stan donated some money, too. He's got quite a legacy as this $325 million player, this record contract, all this power. But, I mean, you know, coming into our – I'm looking at our old rankings. He was number three on our top 100 going into the 2009 season. He was number 16 after 2008. That was after his first full year in pro ball where he hit 39 home runs, but he struck out 160 times. So we were pretty bullish on a guy for striking out 153 times in the South Atlantic League. We're pretty high on him, but when you look at that body and you look at the power, it's easy to be high on Giancarlo Stanton.
Also, in today's game, there's more of a premium on power than there was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
So his value has skyrocketed in that sense. I think he's a great athlete. We talked about Billy Butler a few weeks ago, it was now, and you thought that was a big strike against him moving forward. And then you look at Stanton, and you have a pretty good idea what he'll look like in 5 or 10 years. And, you know, this game right now, John, has a lot of promotable young stars. And I mean stars when you look at Trout and Stanton and a handful of other guys. They look the part, and they hit the ball a really long way. They can go get it, too. And they're real athletes.
I think so. I think it does. It's up to baseball to figure out how to promote those guys. But how can you not promote Mike Trout? How can you not promote Giancarlo Stanton? You know, what more do those guys need to do to be exciting front and center players? What more do you need to do to promote Madison Bumgarner besides telling him to get a haircut? You know, other than that, this guy's ready-made. I mean, just so he does it so easy and has a historic performance. So I agree with you. The game is well positioned to capitalize on these things if it is well led. So, you know, I never thought that the used car salesman from Milwaukee was that guy. He's good at growing the revenue of the game.
Right.
We'll see if Rob Manfred and the people who are now in the commissioner's office are going to be taking over the commissioner's office in January have a little more feel for marketing the game, because I feel like the commissioner has sold the game. I feel like he's never marketed the game. And
I think that's fair.
Things.
Those are two different things. I think that's very fair. John Manuel from Baseball America is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. All right, a couple weeks ago, the Orioles' top 10 prospect list came out, the first one up this year. Steve Molesky put the list together and wrote about it, but you've reviewed it and you've cross-checked it. I want to hit a few names here. Let's start with number 5, Daryl Alvarez. There's some thought that he could be a factor in 2015 based on what happens with Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis. Your thoughts on the Cuban defector Alvarez?
Yeah, I think it's a real question as to how big of a role can this guy play. And I think that's one of the biggest keys for the Orioles offseason. I mean, they would like him to play a smaller role, and they would hope that he, you know, I think if he was forced to play an everyday role, they would hope that he would produce, but they wouldn't have premium confidence that he would produce because he's very aggressive. You know, he walked 21 times all year. He does have corner outfield tools. But, you know, the guys who've had those corner spots for the Orioles in this run, you had a 40-home run guy and Cruz is a DH corner outfield type. But then Marcakis, I'm thinking about a guy like Nate McLaus. You know, when they've been good, those have been on-base positions for the Orioles. And they kind of need to be guys who are patient and get on base a lot because that's not Adam Jones. So you have a center fielder who hits like a corner bat, and you have corner bats who fit more of like a center field, like up the middle offensive profile. It works if they go together. But to me, Darryl Alvarez being added to the lineup with other guys who aren't necessarily patient, that could be an issue. So I think he's better suited as a part-time guy in 2015 than as an everyday guy for Baltimore. He does have big arm strength. He has right field arm strength. He worked out as a pitcher, you know, before he signed. And, you know, he was better offensively. He basically had the kind of offensive season I think the Orioles thought that Henry Urrutia would have.
Right.
You know, that kind of offensive production. So if one of those two guys turns into a big league regular, I think the Orioles would be happy with it. In my mind, both those guys at their best, and Urrutia obviously had a pretty lost 2014. To me, both those guys are kind of second division regulars. And the Orioles were, I think Orioles fans know now, you know, on certain teams, when Nick Marcakis is getting on base at a 370 clip and he's hitting with good gap power, he's a first division regular. When he doesn't have much power and he hits 260 instead of 290 with all the walks, he's a second division regular. And that's the difference. You almost can kind of see it in Baltimore over the last couple of years where players got better. And the team was collectively lifted. That's kind of what you see here. Alvarez, to me, is really more of a second division regular, unless the rest of the team, you know, really lifts him. So to me, I think you'd want a better option if he had to be a regular in 2015.
Number four on the list is left-handed hitting catcher, the batting champion of the South Atlantic League, Chance Sisko. A really impressive first full season in professional ball for Chance Sisko, John.
It really was, and his issues are all defensively. You know, offensively, you will find some scouts who are like, well, he wasn't pull-oriented enough. I want to see him pull the ball with authority. But for a 19-year-old kid, his first full year in pro ball, I think you kind of like to see that. Usually the advanced hitters can use the whole field early, and then later on they learn, oh, this is how you turn and burn. This is how you pull the ball for power. So you that's one thing to watch for as his career evolves. You do want to see him start to pull the ball with more authority as he gains a physical maturation, and he gets more experience against better pitching. But defensively, the other question for Sisko, because he was mostly an infielder in high school, became a catcher as a high school senior. So, you know, he only threw out 20% of guys, and he had a lot of pass balls. But, you know, you want that to happen in the South Atlantic League. So you want him to add that polish as he goes up the ladder. And catcher is the most difficult position defensively. So if you have a guy who has an offensive upside, who has a chance to catch, you have a pretty exciting prospect. So the rough edges on Chance Sisko. You definitely don't want to rush this guy because catchers do take longer to develop, but some very early strong signs when you have a catcher win a batting championship in any league.
When we come back, the top of the Orioles' top 10 prospect list from Baseball America, as we continue with John Manuel, the editor-in-chief, right here on WBAL News Radio 1090.